Okay, tonight's learning should be dedicated to L'ilui Nishmas Achsa Bas Rav Meir. Tonight we have the privilege of starting the last of the Parshiyos in Sefer Vayikra. Baruch Hashem, we got to go through Sefer Vayikra. We went through, every other week together, as we do here. So we had the opportunity to learn Sefer Vayikra, or parts of it together, in depth, with an appreciation and a message and a takeaway from all the different Parshiyos. And this week we come to the last of the Parshiyos. We come to Parshiyos Mechukaisai. And this year, perhaps, it's even better, maybe, because Bahar and Bechor Kaisai are not together. Very often, when Bahar and Bechor Kaisai are together, so something gets lost, because there's not enough time to study both parashiyos in depth, so you got to focus on something. So usually something loses out. So hopefully tonight, we'll focus only and solely on parashiyos Bechor Kaisai to soak up and to gain of the lessons of parashiyos Bechor Kaisai. Now, parashiyos Bechor Kaisai is a very emotionally driven parsha. What I mean by that is that in this week's parasha, we are exposed to some of the beautiful, most beautiful brachas that are known in this world. And I emphasize in this world, some of the most beautiful brachas and guarantees from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an amazing life. But then if we continue on in the parasha, we're introduced to what's known as the Teichicha, where some of the most horrific and some of the most depressing and some of the most difficult promises from HaKadosh Baruch Hu are given to us as well, and they're very, very gruesome. And some of it we've actually experienced already in our history. So we know the Teichicha is found in two places. One time it's in this week's parasha, and then there's another Teichicha that's found in Sefer Devarim. That's called the Teichicha of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu rebukes the people in Sefer Devarim. And this week's parasha is a different type of a Teichicha. And there's differences between the Teichicha found in this week's parasha and the Teichicha found in Sefer Devarim. Hopefully, if there's time, we'll talk about it. And then the end of the parasha, the Torah talks about some other things that perhaps don't seem relevant or connected. The Torah talks about Meiser, taking off a tenth of your animal. The Torah talks about exchanging one animal for another animal. Then the Torah talks about the value of a person. And then that is really the close of Sefer Vayikra. And then, Mitzvah Shem, we move on to Sefer Bamidbar, which again, Sefer Bamidbar for many is perhaps more exciting because it has many more story and plot lines. Obviously, we have some of the most famous stories and storylines and characters and ups and downs in Sefer Bamidbar. By Sefer Vayikra is pretty much limited in the stories. Sefer Vayikra, predominantly, what we know from the Ramban's introduction, is really rules and regulations of Kedushas Kohuna. But we'll see the beginning of this week's parasha. So let's get to the beginning. And this week's parasha is Parashas Bechor Kaisai. The opening pasuk, probably you can spend weeks and months discussing the opening pasuk with the opening Rashi from the famous Teres Kohanim. What is the opening pasuk? Im b'chukaisai teilechu. If in my chukim you will go, ve'es mitzvaisai tishmuru, and my mitzvahs you will keep, va'as yisal ma'isam, and you will keep, and you will do them. What's the continuation? V'nosati gishmechem b'itam. I will give you rain in the proper time, and here the floodgates of blessings open up. I will give you rain in the right time, v'nosnaris yivulah ve'etas hazdei yitem piryoi, and all the agricultural will be perfect. And everything will go the way you want, and you'll have bread, you'll be satiated, the stock market will be perfect, there will be no inflation, gas prices will be $2.50 a gallon. Everything you can think of in economical, physical world, says the Torah, you will have. Everything you want in this world will be perfect. There will be no enemies chasing you. There will be no one to be worried about. You will multiply. The psukim go on, and maybe we'll read some of them inside in a few minutes. And it just goes on for about 13 psukim of the most beautiful brachas that can bestow the Jewish people. And if again, well, this observation is made by many, but it's worth mentioning from the get-go. All these blessings are very physical, gashmiyazdik blessings. Nothing here was spiritual. It didn't say, and you'll be learning for 20 hours, and you'll get Olam Haba. No. We're talking very physical things. Everything very physical. The earth will produce like it's supposed to, and the plants will produce, and the vegetables, and the agriculture will work perfectly. Everything on a very physical, basic level. So, what do you have to do to merit all this? What's the trick? What's the trick? What do we need to do to get all these things? So opening pasuk tells us, all you got to do is go in my chukim, guard my mitzvahs, and do them. Simple. Very easy. We can all do it. But we all know over here, Rashi quotes a very famous Teres Kayanim. Rashi, the Teres Kayanim, wants to know what is the fulfillment of this pasuk. So Rashi quotes over here, Yochol zekira mitzvahs. You would think that this means keeping the mitzvahs. Because again, Rashi's bothered. What is bichu kaisai teilechu? In my chukim, you should go. So there's so many parts of that statement that's somewhat vague and unclear. Chukim, we know, are things that are unlogical, illogical, unclear to us why. That's always what we know as chukim. So the Torah is saying, if you will go on my chukim, then you will merit all these wonderful, wonderful brachas. So the question is, what does it mean to go in my chukim? So pashup shat, you would understand it to mean you keep the mitzvah. Says Rashi, no. But that's a different option on the pasuk. It says later on in the pasuk, if you keep my mitzvahs. So what does it mean? Is bothered Rashi. So here, perhaps the most three famous words. Says Rashi again. This is not Rashi's chiddush. He's quoting the Teres Kehanim. That what Hashem wants of us is, besides for keeping all His mitzvahs, besides for keeping all the many mitzvahs that we have, He wants us to be amelim b'teir. What do these words mean, amelim b'teir? So obviously we all learned when we were in yeshiva, they translated these words to mean, amelim b'teir means to be busy in learning, to be amol. Amol comes from the notion of toil, to be busy with learning. So there's a lot that could be said, and there's a lot to say about this idea of what does it mean to be amelos b'teir. Also, you have to remember we're coming not far away from Shavuos. Shavuos is not so far away. I didn't count Shavuos Arim yet, so I'm not going to say what tonight is, for those of you who didn't count yet either. But we know we're not that far away from Shavuos, and Shavuos is the Yom Tov of Torah, so it's a very apropos time for us to tap in a little bit to the importance of Torah and the role of Torah. Clearly from Rashi we see that amelos b'teir is not a regular mitzvah. Because if amelos b'teir were to be a regular mitzvah, then Rashi never answered this question. And Rashi wanted to know, what does it mean in b'chukai sayte aleichu? And it can't mean if you keep my mitzvahs. Why? Because it says, v'es mitzvah yisayte yishmiru. So Rashi said, oh yeah, it means amelos b'teir. But isn't amelos b'teir also a mitzvah? So if amelos b'teir is just like, you know, Torah on steroids, lahavdil, it just means Torah to the max, so then what did you answer? We're back to square one. It still means a mitzvah. So obviously, without getting into all the details over here, a amelos b'teir clearly is something unique, something special, something individualized from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there's an interesting comment from the Taz. The Taz makes this comment in the Shulchan Aruch when discussing the Birchas HaTorah. This Sunday morning in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to have a whole shiur, more of a Lomdisha outlook, not so much a Hashkafik outlook, but from a Lomdisha standpoint, what exactly is Birchas HaTorah? That's a bracha we recite every single morning. And we have to understand what exactly is the bracha referring to. What exactly is the nature of the bracha? We'll talk about a very geshmaka machloikis between Rishonim and the Vilna Gaon and others. But there is a siman in Shulchan Aruch called Hilchas Birchas HaTorah. So in that siman in Shulchan Aruch, the Taz writes the following comment. He says that a Torah cannot be miskayim. Torah cannot last. Ella, famous Gemara, ella mi shememis atzme olav. Unless a person kills himself over learning. Says the Taz, Torah without yegia will not last. Says the Taz, if a person doesn't put in effort and toil and work, he'll get nothing. Torah is not easy come, easy go. You know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a world today where you can learn a lot of Torah in a very comfortable way. You can sit back, you can listen to a shir, you can read a sefer, English, Hebrew, French, whatever language you want. And it's easy come, easy go. You pick up the information, you soak it up like you would the sun outside. Says the Taz, that's not the way you really gain in learning. If a person really wants to gain in learning, and he wants his Torah to have a key. And what does it mean to have a key? It means you will remember it. You can learn a lot, but it will be in one ear out the other ear. And one of the parts of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just to read through Torah, it's to know Torah. Person has to amass knowledge. He has to have the knowledge. Says the Taz, if you want to acquire Torah, you want Torah to be part of who you are, you need to work and toil. There has to be effort put into it. This is why initially when Art Scroll came out, there were people that were skeptical of it. They thought that this would cause people not to toil in learning. I actually think it's the contrary today. I think people toil with the help of Art Scroll because Art Scroll sends you on different places. He gives you Mara Mekaymah, so you toil even more. But there were those that were worried that this would take away from the toil of learning. What's there to work on? Archibald lays it out for you like a Shulchan Aruch Lefanecha, like a beautiful table. And it does. They do a great job. But you still can toil. You can still handle. You can still dig deeper and find what to talk about. Zok de Taz, that's Pshat in the Gemara. The famous Gemara in the Nedarim. The Gemara tells us that one of the reasons for the Chorban Beis Hamikdash was Shalei Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't make a bracha in the Torah first. He says, because what does it mean they didn't make the bracha? They didn't realize what they were doing. When they were learning Torah, they weren't realizing why they're learning Torah. What's the nusach habracha every morning? We say lasoik b'divrei Torah. We don't say lil moy Torah. We don't say liyada asat Torah. We make the bracha lasoik b'divrei Torah, to toil in learning. So the mistake that they made was when they sat down to learn, they forgot why they were learning. They thought learning was just about, you know, easy come, easy go. They didn't realize, because they didn't make the bracha, means they didn't realize the purpose of learning, says the Taz. So berchu b'tayrat chila means they didn't understand, they didn't appreciate that learning is supposed to be a toiling process. You know, you walk into any yeshiva or any beis medrash, you hear a fire. You hear two people fighting, two people working it out together. Again, not like the Gemara says in Kedushin, Vahik Basufa, they walk out best of friends. They're not mad at each other, they like each other very much. It's just that they're fighting it out. There's a cult Torah, and you walk in, you hear people talking and learning, people handling and learning, they're working it out, trying to understand, each one trying to understand the Divrei Elokim. That's his Askus B'Torah. That's what it means, Asik B'Torah. I saw many years ago, I don't even remember where I saw this trap, but I like to say it over, on the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Shloi Berchu B'Torah Tchila? So I saw a beautiful pshat, it's referencing the parents. What does the Gemara mean when it says they didn't make Berchus HaTorah first? The Gemara means like this, that when a parent blesses his child, right, every parent wants their child to succeed. Every parent wants to see that their child should be successful, have a family, you know, have a parnosa, be active members of their community. And every family and every parent should want to see that their child grows up to be great in learning also. But Shloi Berchu B'Torah Tchila means which one was the first thing you emphasized for your child? I bless my child that he should be rabbi doctor or doctor rabbi. Where do I put the emphasis? Says the Gemara, Shloi Berchu B'Torah Tchila. When they would bless their children, they would not put Torah first. They had blessed the children, you should go up to make a lot of money, be very wealthy. Oh yeah, and then you'll learn Torah. No, we got to bless our children the opposite way. You should go up to be Talmidei Chacham and learn a lot of Torah. And by the way, you should have a way to make parnasa. You should be very successful. You should get into a good business. You should have parnasa. It's a question of what the emphasis is. That's Pshat in the Gemara. Shloi Berchu B'Torah Tchila means our emphasis on what we blessed our children, what we emphasize to our children, has to be reversed. It has to be Torah and then Parnassah. But be it as it may, says the Taz, that's Pshat in the famous Gemara, because they lost sight on what Torah is all about. Reb Chaim Volozhin, one of the greatest students of the Vilna Gaon, pointed out that supposedly he said that his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, would have malachim that would come to him, whatever this means exactly, who would want to learn with him, and he said no. He said, I don't want to hear Torah from Malachim, I want to work it out myself. Whatever this means, that the Vilna Gaon with Malachim, again, this is too Hasidish for people that are very Litvish, very anti-Hasidic for that matter, but the Vilna Gaon said, I want to toil it on my own, I want my own Yegiyah, I don't want to be spoon-fed the information. And that's, I think, Pshat, we've said this many times in Parshas Toldos. We know that when the famous Rashi says that when Rivka was pregnant with Yaakov and Esav, and she walked by a yeshiva, so Yaakov wanted to get out. Then she walked by an Avodah Zarah house, Esav tried to get out. So the Kasha is asked, why was Yaakov wanting to leave? We know the Gemara Nida tells us that every fetus learns Torah in utero. Maybe this is a reason you can discuss about abortion. Hot topic now. You know, maybe taking a kid away from abortion, you're taking away from his learning. People say such svaras, because every child, every fetus is learning Torah. You're going to yank that fetus out, even if you kill it, you're taking away from learning. Okay, but so frek the achrayin, and many achrayim have this kasha. But why did Yaakov have to go learn in the Beis Medrash? He's being fed it in utero from a malach. So they say the same answer. Yaakov Avinu, whatever this means, Yaakov Avinu didn't want to be fed Torah from a malach. Malach means there's no yegiyah. Here it is, take the information. Yaakov said, no, I want to crack my head on this. I want to work it out. I want to figure this out on my own. I don't want to be spoon-fed the information. It's Yegiyas HaTorah. It's the Chashivas of Yegiyas HaTorah. Amelus B'Torah is more than just, I think, it's more than just amount of hours and minutes a person puts to learning. I think many of us, with the structures of our life, are not able to spend 20, 30 hours a day learning Torah. Amelus B'Torah is not just how many hours you put into Torah, but Amelus B'Torah is defined by your relationship vis-a-vis Torah. Meaning, Amelus B'Torah means, what do I toil with? Meaning, what is my passion? What is my desire? What do I really love to do? Right? I really love to shoot golf, I really love to play tennis, or I really love to learn. Or I really love my job. How do I really love a job? I think we should also love jobs. I always tell Talmidim, don't pick a job you're not going to love. But at the end of the day, it's a job that you have to do to make friends, and you should enjoy it. But what's your passion? Your true passion is, I want to be able to learn. I want to be able to devote time, to have free time, to have access time to learning Torah. That's one of the important nekudas of Amelus B'Torah. They say over about Reb Gifter, that Reb Gifter had a grandson sleeping over in his house once. and it was very late at night, and he said to him, Zayda, when are you going to sleep? So Rabbi Gifter said, how can I go to sleep? The Rajba's in jail. The Rajba's in jail. He said, I'm in the middle of a bomb cash on the Rajba. So the Rajba's stuck. How can I go to sleep? How can I go to sleep? I'm in the middle of a shver kash on the Rajba. My Rebbe would say over about his father, Zelig Epstein Zatzal. He said, many a nights, Zelig would stay up a whole night, not because he planned on staying up a whole night. He did because he was so in the middle of a sugya, he just couldn't go to sleep because he was in the middle of something and he didn't work it out. He's left with kashas, he couldn't go to sleep. Lahavdil, many people are in the middle of a good book. You know, they're middle of a suspense thriller. They can't put it down. They got to see how it ends. They're middle of a movie, whatever. They're middle of a ball game. They can't go to sleep till it ends. So for these people, they're middle of a shver Rambam, middle of a shver Rashba. They couldn't go to sleep. They couldn't pull themselves away from this because this was their life. You know, we're coming to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We all know Shavuos night became accepted in Klal Yisrael, a big inyan to stay up. So everyone takes long naps on Erev Shavuos, and they drink 10 cups of coffee, and then they have, you know, other caffeinated drinks, just so they can push themselves to the finish line to stay up for Shavuos. You know, that's not really what it's supposed to be about. It's really supposed to be about that you have such a love and a cheshek for the Torah that you're willing to forego some sleep for it. Today it became, you know, I have to make it Shavuos night, I have to survive the finish line to Shavuos night, so I'll do whatever I have to do, and the rest of the Yom Tov I won't learn. I'll just learn those 3-4 hours Shavuos night. It's a shame. We're losing focus on what this is all about. So these great Gedolim who would lose sleep over learning was because to them it wasn't like I have to do it. It wasn't like a hineni mochel mezumen to stay up all night. It wasn't like they planned the night before they're staying up. It's just they got caught up. Anyone knows that anyone who has a job and gets stuck with a job, sometimes you gotta stay up until the job is finished. For them, their job was being miyashav a Rajba. Their job was understanding a Rambam. So for them, their pashim couldn't go to sleep. They weren't able to go to sleep until they had the yeshiva das. That's a melus b'toyra. But for many of us, we're not always at that. We don't have that feeling. So for us, a melus b'toyra means we feel a connection. We feel a connection to want. You know, to want to learn Torah, right? That desire to want to use more of our free time to learn Torah, to go to more shiur and more chavrusas, more learning. We should want to feel that desire. That's amelus b'Torah, and that is what the Torah promises. That if we are be careful with this, we will merit to see amazing, amazing brachas in our lives. So, what exactly is the connection between the flow of the pasuk? The Arachayim HaKadosh is bothered. You know, I understand mitzvahs. Person has to learn mitzvahs. Person has to understand mitzvahs. If he doesn't learn mitzvahs, he doesn't know how to do mitzvahs. But what does Amelus B'Toyra have to do with the second half of the pasuk? So the Arachayim HaKadosh says the following. He writes, this is actually a very famous Arachayim HaKadosh. Anyone that has a Chumash Mekoros Gedolos and they open it up to the opening of Arachayim, you will find that the Arachayim HaKadosh has 42 pshatim on the opening pasuk. 42 pshatim. Amazing. I'm unaware of anywhere else in the Chamishu Chumashu Torah that he gives so many commentaries to one pasuk. There's a story behind these 42 pshatim of the Arachayim HaKadosh. Quickly, I'll mention the story because it's interesting. The Arachayim HaKadosh lived the end of the 1600s, the beginning of the 1700s. The end of the 1700s? I always forget. Either the end of the 1600s, the end of the 1700s. So the Arachayim HaKadosh once, the way the story goes, there's different versions of the story. This is the basic general version that the Arachayim HaKadosh was once on a Friday afternoon and there was a shortage of kosher animals in the town to eat for Shabbos. And the Arachayim HaKadosh had some animals that he shechted that were available for consumption for Erev Shabbos. And there were two people that were vying for the last piece of meat. One was the wealthiest man of the town, the big gvir, the big businessman, the big hachat. And the other one was a Talmud Chacham, a simple Talmud Chacham, no money, no real, no clout, but he was a Talmud Chacham. And there was a fight, who's going to get the last piece of animal to have Suda Shabbos? So the wealthy fellow said to the Arachayim HaKadosh, why are you going to give it to this guy? Well, he's a Koyla guy. He sits and learns the whole day. What does he do? Look at me. I'm wealthy. I support the community. I give tzedakah. Look at my house. I have, you know, 14 floors, 15 floors, 18 wagons. You know, come on, give it to me. And the Arachayim HaKadosh didn't say anything, but he told the fellow, I'm sorry, I'm giving it to the Talmud Chacham. And the Arachayim HaKadosh felt very guilty that he did not defend the Talmud Chacham. He didn't speak up for Torah. He felt as if he was mevazet Torah by not standing up and saying, no, Torah is more important than all your money. I don't care the fact that you're the CEO of the company. This guy learns in Kailul the whole day. He's devoting his life to Torah. But the Arachayim HaKadosh didn't make that rebuttal, and he felt guilty. And he got a dream. He had a dream that he needs to go into Galus, which was very typical of that time in history for many Jews to go into Galus. And he decides to wander, and he wanders from town to town. and he finds himself in a town the following Shabbos, and someone is gracious enough to invite him to their house, and no one knew who the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh was. This is before, you know, there were pictures, before there were Gedolim cards, before there was internet, so no one knew who the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh was. They knew of his commentary, but they didn't know him by face. There was no face recognition. So some fellow was nice enough to take him into his home, and the Baal Bayis told the Aruch Chaim, you know, I have a Rav here, our Rav in our town is so amazing. Right, that's what you want every Baal Bayis to say, you know, our Rav is so amazing, that every week he shares with us at each of the three, you know, three times over Shabbos, he shares with us beautiful insights that are told to him in Hashemayim. And every Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shalosh Shabbos, he shares with us 14 insights that were told to him in Hashemayim. So you'll be impressed, okay? So they come to Shul Friday night, and the rabbi says, I want to share with you 14 insights that I was shared with the Malach, which are also found by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. And he went on to say how the great tzaddik, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh was sitting in the stand. He got up and said, Rabbi, I'm sorry. I want you to know the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is not such a big tzaddik. He's not such a big goyin. He's a regular, simple folk like me and you. And the shul was in a little bit of an uproar. A chutzpah, he talked to speak. Who's this guy? Some visitor from a town speaks ill of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, but we get weiter. So the next day, Shabbos day comes, and the rabbi gets him and says, I want to share with the Eilim another 14 pshatim that I saw from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is such a good, he's such a tzaddik, he's such an amazing person. And again, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in the stand gets him and says, guys, he's not that choshev. He's not such a hoo-ha guy. He's a regular guy like me and you. Don't get so impressed. So now already the crowd was even more upset because this is the second time this happened. And the host tells the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, listen, buddy, we're going to Shal Shudas. If you do this again, I'm going to disown you. I don't know who you are. You're going to have to fend for yourself. So they come to Shal Shudas, and yet again, the Rav gets up and says another 14 pshatim from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and again he gives such beautiful accolades to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and this fellow on the stand, who is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, gets up and says, he's not so chashiv, he's not such a gadol, he's not such a tzaddik, genug shein, enough already. And the rabbi says, Atkan, I cannot allow you to so be so mevazeh to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He took this fellow and he locked him up. He took the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh himself, and he locked him in like some closet in the shul. Later that evening, there was a massive unexpected storm that was not natural, not normal for that community, and a dream appeared to the rabbi of the town, and the rabbi said, and the dream showed the rabbi that the reason why you're experiencing such abnormal weather is because you have locked up in the closet of the shul none other than the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. And you can imagine the rabbi's feeling when he realizes that he locked up in the shul, the person he locked up in the shul was the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He runs and he opens the lock and he says, I'm so sorry, I feel terrible. And they said, no, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh said, this is Simin HaShemayim, that my goal has come to an end and I can go back home. That's the story in a nutshell. But in any case, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh points out something very interesting. He writes a couple of very important observations. First of all, he writes that a person can't keep the mitzvahs if he doesn't know it. If you don't know Torah, then there's no way to be shomer mitzvahs. Right? Unless a person toils in learning and he learns halacha and he goes into depth, how else is he supposed to know mitzvahs ha'itishmu v'asisim oisim? How is he supposed to know how to keep the mitzvahs? Torah, there's so many laws. There's endless and endless amounts of laws that circle our daily life. And if you're not a baki in Shulchan Aruch, there's no way you can keep all of them. We know the famous Hakdama to the Mishneh Berurah, where the Mishneh Berurah writes in the Hakdama to Chelek Gimel that if a Jew does not know all of Hilchos Shabbos, he is destined to be Mechal Shabbos, of course, accidentally. But there's so many nuances throughout the Shabbos where if you're not holding, you very easily can make a mistake. So therefore, Zakta Pasuk, if you're not going to be toiling and learning, if you're not going to be spending your days learning, there's no way you're going to be able to keep the mitzvahs. Right? And it's interesting, if you look at the Ibn Ezra writes, what does it mean, Chukaisai Tishmu Vasisim? He writes, mitzvah lulamid ulalamid. There's a mitzvah for you to learn and a mitzvah to teach. Ve'lasos, and to do. Everything boils down to doing. You have to know how to live your life, right? There's still a bit of a controversy in the style of learning in the yeshivas today, where there's such a big emphasis on lumdis and analysis, yet many yeshiva guys come out, they don't know any practical halacha, they don't know how to run a kosher kitchen, they don't know anything, because they spent all the years in yeshiva, which again, I'm not putting down, I'm not knocking, I'm not getting involved in the different styles of learning, chas v'shalom. But I'm saying Amelus Peter Avada includes that as well. Of course, if a person is Amel and Torah and he spends his years learning Lomdis, that's definitely Amelus Peter. But the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, as well as the Ibn Ezra, is pointing out, there has to be a Lomid Amanas Lasses. We have to know how to live our life. At some point, we have to be Kaveh Azman, the time for learning, where we're learning practical halacha so we know how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. But he takes it a step further, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and he brings a very important point. He writes, the end of the Pasuk says, Tishmeru, to guard. He says, very often you find people, and this, we all have met people like this in our life. They take on chumras. They hear about a chumra, the neighbor has a chumra, they take on the chumra. But because they don't really understand the Torah, they don't understand the chumra. I mean, you can't take on a chumra unless you understand, and you went through the sugya, and you learned it up, and you understand how it's working. You can't just, you know, yank a chumra off the shelf because Yenem does it. Zogt Arachayim, because if you want to do shmartim, shmiras from the lashon of harchaka, if you want to take on extra chumras, then you have to be an Amal B'Torah. You have to know what the chumra is. Very often you'll have people that come back from Eretz Yisrael, they're so fired up, they want to take on every chumra under the sun. And they don't understand the first chumra from the second chumra. They don't understand which one's more important, which one's less important, which one's more negated today, which one's less negated. They probably don't know. But they're so fired up that they've built, I want to be machmir. So a person has to first, if he wants to start taking on all these new chumras and all these fancy harchakas, and says the Arachayim, if he pasha wants to learn simple on the Torah, he needs to understand, he needs to first know what is in the Torah. It needs to be an Amal B'Torah, it needs to be a Loimit Torah. Or talk to someone who's a Loimit Torah, talk to a bigger Rav, a Paisik, to give you hadrach on what chumra is fit for you, what chumra is not fit for you. It's interesting, the Arachayim HaKadosh was also bothered. Why is Torah, why is a male's Torah called a chayk? Why is that a chayk? Chayk is, you know, bas b'chalav. Why can't I eat bas b'chalav? But a male's Torah is not such a chayk. A male's Torah, the way we're describing it now, is complete dedication and devotion. I would imagine that there are people that when they're studying for their various professional life, they're, you know, studying in medical school or law school, they're probably amul in that also. They probably don't sleep at night and they spend hours and hours and hours studying. So why is this such a chayk? So the Rechaim HaKadosh says something important. He says, the reason why this is a chayk is because you'll see people that toil in learning even after they learned it already once. Most people, once they learn something, they're done, they're finished, they put it on the shelf, gemarnu, we finished, we're not going back. Very rarely do you find students that will return to their school books, to their textbooks after they finish school. I know it already, we get weiter. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, Torah is not like that. A person will learn Torah three times. You know it already. So why are you learning it again? Hashem loves when we learn. Just keep learning, keep learning. I learned it already, learn it again. And we all know that the more you learn something, the more you realize you didn't really learn it well the first time. You pick any topic you've studied in your life and you'll learn it again, you'll realize, wow, I missed so many kudas, so many points I missed the first time around. And it's amazing. Every time we, you know, when I was in yeshiva, probably the hardest, and I see this with my own talmidim, the hardest thing to convince people to do is to do chazara. Chazara, no one wants to chazara, everyone wants to go weiter, more and more, give me new, and they never want to chazara. And I admit myself, I'm very guilty of this myself. I don't review enough, I don't chazara enough. But this week I had the opportunity to chazara a certain sugya that I thought I learned well. And many times, I've given shurim on it many times, and I went through it again, and I realized there's so many nuances, so many details that I appreciate now, because there are other areas in halacha which I now understand better, and now it all comes together, and it's a different sugya. So, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, something which you know, you're pretty well versed in the topic, but keep going, because Hashem wants you to learn it again, and again, and again, and keep chazering, and keep harving, keep on learning the same thing. It's a beautiful madrega in Amelus Petera. Then the Arachayim HaKadosh writes over here, he's bothered, why is it called Chukaisai? My Chukim. Chukaisai is plural. So what's the Chukaisai? It's one thing, Amelus B'Torah. So writes the Arachayim HaKadosh, no. It's referencing the idea that we have to have Higisa Bo Yomam V'Laila. There needs to be a toil of learning both day and night. That's the plural. And he says, in Tzarech Likvaya Itim B'Torah B'Yom U'V'Laila. Person needs to designate time for learning both day and at night. And he said that's why it's the plural. Because there's multiple times a day when a person has to designate for learning. Kaveh itim l'teira, right? We know today, if you ever on the shidduch resume, everyone calls you up, is he kaveh itim? Well, I don't know. What does kaveh itim mean today? Kaveh itim can mean the guy learns 5 minutes a day in the morning and 5 minutes at night. The guy learns 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours at night. That's kaveh itim. You know, I heard a story about a certain fellow, Balabas, who was arguing with a Rav that we should really abolish the Kailo movement. And he was telling the Rav that he learns about 7-8 hours a day and works a full-time job. He told the Rav he gets about 4:30 in the morning, he learns from 4:30 till 7:30. That's 3 hours, and then he learns during his lunch break, and then he learns 2 hours at night. He says, I learn more than any Kailo guy under the sun, and I work a full-time job, and I do well for myself, and no one supports me. Now, I'm not getting into whether or not we should abolish the Kailo or not, but to me, that was just godless to hear from a person who works a full day. He devotes so much time to learning. That's remarkable. Guy gets up at 4:30 every morning. He learns 3 hours before Shacharis. He learns an hour during his lunch break. And then he learns at night. I know many people I know that spend their lunch break learning. And I think it's amazing. I have utmost respect for them. That's Keveya Itim B'yayim U'Belayla. That means whenever a person has free time, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm actually very against the people who learn when they're not supposed to be learning. I always tell my Talmidim, you're not supposed to be learning when you're in class, you're not supposed to be learning when you're on the job. Those are not times when you're supposed to be learning. Then you're supposed to be working. If you get paid to do a job, you gotta do the job. You're not allowed to learn on the job. That's Gneva, and it's a mitzvah of Aveira. I don't want to hear you learning. You know, you're on the train, you're commuting, you want to listen to a shir, fantastic. I think that's also Amelus with Torah. Today we live in a world that we can get so much learning done while we're doing three other things. I'm not saying it's the best, I'm not saying that should be your whole learning for the day because you're multitasking, you listen to a shir with half an ear, but Lamaisa, if you can do things and listen to a shir and still be able to gain a learning, it's a shame that we don't. Person can walk, he takes the train, he's sitting in, I saw the other day a guy sitting in a doctor's office, he's doing the Daf Yomi, learning Parsha Chumash Rashi. There's endless time throughout the day to be able to accomplish great things. I know people that whenever they're, you know, they carry a pocket mishnayis with them, whenever there's somewhere, they pull it out, they chop around nacha mishnah, two mishnayis, a mishnah brewer, whatever it is, it's fantastic. That's amelus b'teira. Amelus b'teira is not only measured by how many hours a day you work, it's measured by how much time, effort you put in to learn Torah. Person doesn't waste a minute. He has every moment that he can use, he's productive at that moment. But the Kli Yakar says it even better, in my opinion. The Kli Yakar writes that Amelus B'Teira means Kiveya Itam B'Teira, and he says that's the Chayk. Chayk V'lo Yaver. Person has a Chavrusa, person has a Shir, he means, I'm not missing this. No, I don't care. Everything else has to work around my Chavrusa, and everything else has to work around my Shir. That's Kiveya Itam, Dr. Kli Yakar. That's B'chu Kosei. He says, everything else works around the Torah. Person says, this is my time for learning, and I don't care what else is going on. We said over many times, that's Pshat, the famous Pshat in the Pasuk. Ein HaTorah, the Gemara, Ein HaTorah, Miskayim El Mishim, Emes Atzmi Olav. So Ephraim Zalman Margolis, the great Mat Ephraim, the Shar Ephraim, the great Goin, who was also a businessman, he used to tell a secretary, when I'm learning, tell the people on the phone I'm dead. Tell the investor, tell the business partner, I'm dead, you can't talk to me. That's what it means. In Atayra Miskayim Elamisha Memis Asmi Allah. If you want to learn and learning, you have to be able to block out time. Everyone knows you have a schedule, you block out times. These are block out days and block out hours. No. Says there Mefraim Zamagolos, I am dead during these hours. I can't make any business decisions, I can't make any investments, I can't be asked any business questions. I am dead during my time. Zakta Kliyaka does mean Bukhukaise Telechu. Kviyas Atayra means I have a set time that I learn and nothing's changing that. Everything else works around that. Now, obviously, of course, there are times you have to miss. You have a simcha, you have a tzarech, you know, but you have to try it as best as you can to keep it. Everything else revolves around that. I have to give a lot of credit to my wife. She understands that the shurim that we give here and in person, Baruch Hashem, we revolve our entire life around the shurim. Everything is planned around it. We go on vacation around the shurim. We schedule events around the shurim. We schedule things around. We try not to miss the shurim because this is a kvias. This is what we do, Baruch Hashem, for many years in Halavai Vaiter. That we have the shurim at night and in the mornings, and we try to, again, sometimes we have no choice. We'll have to do a Zoom on a Sunday morning because we have an upsharing, or we'll play around with things, but we try to keep it kvias. You know, you speak to people that have chavrusas, they learn together for years and years, they don't miss. That's it. This hour I block out for learning. I can't be disturbed. The world is dead to me. That's Pshat in the Pasuk. A person has to say that this time is Chosh V'Layavah. It's sacred. It is blocked out. No availability for anything else. This is now only a time for learning. Okay, so that's a lot. Obviously, there's a lot to discuss over here about Torah, about Shavuos, and about Chashivas at Torah, and what does it mean to be Kivei Itam LaTorah. We already went way beyond. I wanted to go on this first pasuk, but there's so much here to define, to understand. What does it mean to be Amelus B'Torah? What does it mean to be Omo B'Torah? It's interesting. The Kasha that we started off with in the beginning is a very strong Kasha. The Maisa, if you look in the Psukim, the Psukim promise you beautiful rewards. Beautiful rewards. You're going to have rain, and we mentioned everything's going to be perfect. But the Maisa, these are all very physical things. We would have thought that if the Torah is going to describe to you beautiful things, it would give you something that's spiritual based. Gan Eden, Olam Haba, you know, beautiful, wonderful things. Just this day, my Talmidim were asking me, what about, what does Olam Haba look like? And I said, listen, guys, I have no idea. I have no idea. You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know what Canadian looks like. I know them. I don't know any of these things. I know this world. I know we're here to work. Let's work. Let's toil. Let's learn. Let's get some credit for the next world. For Lamaisa, the kasha is asked on this week's parasha that all of these are very gashmi-based presents. And the question is, why is there such a focus? And that's what Hashem is going to give us. We would have thought Hashem would give us something, you know, spiritual. And this is a bigger kasha that I'm not going to get into this evening, that there's almost no mention in the Torah, in the Torah Shebiksav, about the next world. There's no mention in the next world, there's no mention in the Chumash, what Olam HaBa is going to look like, and what Gehenim is going to look like. This is a very general, classical Yahadus question. How the whole next life is basically not discussed in Torah Shebiksav. So how are we as Jews supposed to live our life in this world without really understanding the next world? So there are numerous terutzim given. One answer, very bekitzer, is that if we really understood what the next world was in a positive way, then we would almost lose a shtikl b'chira. It would be so easy for us to do what's right. Because if we only knew what's waiting for us in the next world, we would never sin. We would never do anything wrong. We would only do good. Because if you have that picture in front of you of what paradise looks like, there's no way you're going to waste time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what, let me not give them that full picture. Let me give them more of a distant vision for them to work towards, and this way it's somewhat of an assignment in this world. But the simple answer is that we're not supposed to necessarily know what's going on in the next world. But the problem is, we also know there's a Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Schar mitzvah b'hai al-molek. We don't get rewarded for mitzvahs that we do in this world. But if you read these psukim, the simple reading is, yes, you do. You read these psukim, it sounds like all this amazing reward. Everything is for doing mitzvahs. So the Chassam Sofer gives a classical answer, a beautiful answer. He writes, no. When you are matriach, and when you go to the store and you buy $40 for hand matzah, and you sit down at the seder and you eat the matzah, you're not getting a dime of reward for eating the matzah. That eating of the matzah is in the next world. Do you know what you're going to get reward for? For schlepping to the store, waiting online, fighting the crowd, spending the $40. The tircha that goes into mitzvahs, says the Chassam Sofer, that's what you get reward for. You know, when you rearrange your schedule so you can learn with your chavrusa, and when you cancel a meeting so you can catch mincha, and when you rearrange your supper so you can go out to the shir, that's where you get the reward for. Zog to Chassam Sofer, it's the tircha, ba'ad the mitzvah. It's the toil and the tircha that you put into the mitzvah, but not the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself you get in the next world. But says the Chassam Sofer, all that toiling, and this is, I think, very comforting for many of us, because many of us spend a lot of time rearranging our life to be able to do mitzvahs. We move things around so we can do mitzvahs, and therefore, Zog the Chassam Sofer, that tircha that you put in, that's where you're going to get the reward. One of my favorite pshatim on this opening pasuk, I say it over many times, I heard this once, b'shem Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Baruch Simon, I say it over many times, I say it over usually on Thanksgiving, when Rabbi Simon comes to my shul for a Yarche Kala on Thanksgiving, I like to say it over in front of him to give him the recognition. But he says over a beautiful pshat, this opening pasuk. I think it's an amazing chizuk for everyone listening. He points out, pshat the pasuk is like this. Imbichu koisai teilechu means if you're following, imbichu koisai teilechu means that if you're living a life so you can keep my mitzvahs, there's mitzvahisai tishmeru v'hasis emoisam. Says Rabbi Simon, I believe he's quoting from the Arachayim HaKadosh, from the Chefetz Hashem, on Masech Shabbos, because he's bothered with the kasha. Every hadrin, we say, Onu amelim, we toil, the heim amelim and they toil. Onu amelim mekabuscha, we toil and we get reward, they toil and they don't get scha. So Frank the Arachayim, in his commentary on Masech Shabbos, I think, the Sefer Chefetz Hashem, maybe Masech Brochus, one of those two Masechs, he asks, of course, if we toil and learn a Shver Gemara, of course we get reward. Anu amelim, v'heim amelim, anu amelim, of course, what are they amelin? Why should they get reward? So he says, no, a totally different pshat. He says, you know what, your amel doesn't mean in learning. Your amel means your amel at your job. You're putting in the same 9 to 5 as he is. You're crunching the numbers just like that guy is. But you're going to get schar for doing your job. When you do your job, and you work hard on your job, but you're doing it so you can live a frum life, so you can have kosher in the house, and you can send your kids to yeshiva, and you can live a Jewish life, you get schar for that. Zogt Arachaim, the schar is not for the learning. Anu amela means the toil you put into your job. That's what you get schar for. Guy goes to work a whole day and he's sitting in his office and he's putting in time and making phone calls and working on orders and working on business deals. That he gets schar for. Why? Because why is he doing it? He's doing it to keep himself busy? No, he's doing it because it's very expensive to be religious. It's expensive to be a frum yid. Everything costs money. Food costs money. Yeshivas cost money. Shul membership costs money. The Jewish community costs money. Everything costs money. That's pshat on the pasuk. Im b'chukaisai teilechu. If you're doing it, he says, im b'shvil chukaisai teilechu. If you go out every day to work just so you can keep my chukim, that's mitzvayisai tishmeru. And so you can keep my mitzvahs, then v'rasati gishmeichem b'itam. Then you'll merit these beautiful brachas. If a person's whole tzugang to life is, why am I working? Why am I working? I'm not working because I just love it, right? You meet people, I always joke with my talmidim, why do you guys go to college? Because you want to be like the rest of the college kids or want to be enlightened. They want to learn new things. No, you're going to college because you need to make a parnasa. That's why you're going to college. You're not going so some college professor could brainwash you to be a woke liberal and have these wacky ideas. No, that's not why you're going to college. You go to college because you need to make a parnasa. You need to have a way to support your family. Why? Because it's expensive to be from and it costs money and you need to have a parnasa. So when a person goes to his job every single day, he should think this vart. That you go on a job every day and you wish you could spend more time learning. But as Rabbi Simon points out, this only works if a person says, yeah, I wish I could be learning. If the guy says, you know what? I don't even want to be learning. How do you know? So he quoted from the Chafetz Chaim, the only way you can tell is what do you do on your day off? What do you do with your free time? If on your free time you're also not learning, so then you're not working so you could support your family. You're working because you like working. But if your person, when he has free time, he tries to use it to come closer to Hashem, whichever way, whether it be learning, chesed, tzedakah, you know, other productive things, so then his whole job, every hour that he puts in on his job, every late night, every weekend that you work, you're getting schar ki'ilu, you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I heard this word, I found it such an amazing chizuk. You know, for every minute you work, if you're doing it for the right reasons, then it's like you're learning Torah. You get the brachas of an asati gishmechem bi'itam. There's a beautiful sefra on this week's parsha. It's kedai to remember. The sefra writes, Hashem is ave. Hashem has a taiva. Hashem has a desire. Shiyu b'nei Yisrael ha'meilim b'Torah. That's what Hashem loves. Hashem has a taiva. What does that mean? Hashem has a taiva. Hashem is not a human. But we know Hashem. What does Hashem love? Hashem loves to see His children learning Torah. It just brings them such nachas. I remember last year I had a series of shurim in my shul. And I have a fellow in my shul who has numerous grandchildren in the shul. And he told me, and he said, he walked in, he saw his grandchildren learning. It was the most amazing feeling. You walk in, and you can imagine, a parent comes in, he sees his kid learning, he sees his grandchildren learning, you feel gevaldik. Says the Medrash, Hashem says, when I see my children being amul b'teira, it's the greatest desire. Hashem just wants to see people learning, people steiging. Doesn't mean you have to be learning all day, doesn't mean everyone's in kaidl. It means Hashem loves, desires to see his children being amul b'teira. Okay, we got through the first pasuk. What's the next pasuk? So the Torah promises all these beautiful things are going to happen. So I think so it's from the Panavitcherov, maybe? I forgot already. He says pshats like this. He says, the same way that there's teva in the world. What's the teva? The teva in the world is that when it rains, it helps cause the fruit to grow. Zakta, same thing here also. When people are taka omul b'teira properly, the teva will produce for them just like when it rains. It's guaranteed. It's in the books. It's teva. The same way when the rain falls onto the ground, there's a certain element of teva that allows and creates that the fruits will grow. So too, when Klai Yisrael will takabi b'chukaisei teilechu, that will kick in teva that there should be b'sati gishmechem b'ita. Rav Moshe Feinstein is bothered. Why is it called gishmechem? Your rain. It's not your rain. It's just say v'nasati gishamim b'nashamayim b'ita. Says Rav Moshe that when you taka do mitzvahs and you do like you're supposed to, you become the bailam on the rain. It's your rain. It's yours. Just like the Gemara says when you make a bracha, right? It says, it depends. When you make a bracha on this world, then it's all yours. Zakhtar Moshe, when you learn Torah and you're b'chukaisei teilechu, it's your rain. You're the balabas. It becomes yours. Hashem says, you're in charge now. The madriga that we can reach when we get to the point where we're able to be the chukaisei teilechu. Abraham Kanievsky's atzal is bothered with the kasha that in this week's parasha the Torah goes on and on for quite a few psukim to give the blessings that will happen if you keep the mitzvahs. But ask Abraham Kanievsky if you turn to the Teichon Parashas Kisav, there you'll see the brachas are much more detailed and are much more elaborated. There's much more bracha over there. Baruch atah b'ir, baruch atah b'tzeichah b'el, goes on and on and on, a whole list of brachas that you get. Here it's pretty vague. You know, you'll get blessings of the fruit and everything will be good. So Reb Chaim Kineski says only something that he could say. Says Reb Chaim Kineski, because this week's parasha, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Omel B'Teira. We're talking about the guy whose life is about Teira. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give me so many brachas. Because if I'm going to have too much parnasa, marba nechasim, marba daiga. I don't want it. Don't give me endless parnasa. You know what? Don't give me so much. Because I'm not going to have time to learn. It's an amazing word from Chaim Kineski. Says Chaim Kineski, because in this week's parasha, the Torah is talking about the Lein Dei Teira, the Omel B'Teira. Said the guy doesn't want to have multi-million dollar companies. Give him one company. He'll make his whatever he needs. He's happy. You're going to make this guy a CEO of 12 companies. He's not going to have any time to learn. Says Reb Chaim Kineski, if money distracts you from learning, it's nishkin bracha anymore. No great glitch. It's not geschmack. It's not a grois zach, says Reb Chaim Kineski, if money takes you away from learning. That's the famous story with Reb Chaim Kineski. A fellow came to Reb Chaim Kineski. He just won the lottery. Won the Israeli lottery. And he wanted to make sure that he wasn't getting any ayin hara. So he asked Reb Chaim Kineski, what can I do to have no ayin hara? Everyone's going to be jealous of me because I won the lottery. I'm so wealthy. So Reb Chaim Kineski said, let me ask you a question. Are you learning more Torah now since you won the lottery? He said, actually, I'm learning less Torah now because I have people lining up outside my door. They want to collect from me. They want to invest with me. I'm very busy now. So Reb Chaim Kineski says, aha, you're not learning anymore. He says, are you being able to be Yoved Hashem any better? He says, no. So Reb Chaim Kineski said to the fellows, what are you worried about Ayin Hara? No one's going to want to be like you. That's what Reb Chaim Kineski thought. That no one's going to want to be like you because you're not learning more. Reb Chaim Kineski looked at money and fame and everything and said, will this make you learn better? If not, who wants it? Mamash, what he's saying in this parsha. We don't want brachas if it's going to take us away from learning. It's an amazing comment to say. I don't think we're at that madrega today that we're willing to turn away money if it means I'm going to have a little less time for learning. Most of us will say, I'll figure it out, I'll make it up. Says Reb Chaim Kineski, very parsha pshat in the pasuk. We're talking about Amoy Libetero. Amol Libertarians say to themselves that if I'm not going to have time for learning, if it takes away from my learning, I don't want it. I don't need that extra deal if it's going to take away more time from my learning. Then we have over here, then we switch over a little bit, switch gears a little bit. Terry tells us, Torah tells us all the beautiful things that are waiting for us. And there's a pasuk over here that's also somewhat strange. Pasuk tells us, "V'nasati shalom ba'aretz," and I will give peace in the land. So here again, you have to remember, here we're talking about all the beautiful things that are waiting for us. And all of a sudden Hashem throws in, and I will give you peace. I will give you peace. So Rashi explains, what does it mean that I will give you peace? Says Rashi, Shema Taimer, maybe you'll say, Rimachov, Arimishta, very nice. I have food and drink, but it means Sholim in Klum. You know, if a guy has food and drink, but he's in the middle of a war zone, it doesn't get you too far. So Rashi, no, I'm going to give you Sholim. Mikansha, Sholim, Shokol, Kenegat Kol. Sholim is worth everything. So most of us learn Pashup Shah in the Pasuk and Pashup Shah in Rashi, that what it's saying is that a person can have all the money in the world, but if he doesn't have Sholim, he doesn't have peace with the people around him, his family, then it's worth nothing. But the Ksav Sofer says a very interesting pshat. He says very often when it comes to people with money, you need the most shalom. He says, you know, if you have a person who's very wealthy, it bothers him more that he's not like as wealthy as the other guy. He's more anxious. He's more worried. He's more nervous about keeping up with the Joneses. The guy who's poor is poor. This is his reality. He knows he's got nothing. He came to terms with it. But Zakta Ksav Sofer, when you have a guy who's taka wealthy, and then he starts to get very nervous. You know, am I living up? Shalom over here doesn't mean getting along with people. Shalom means interpersonal relationship. I'm happy with myself. I'm happy with the $6 million that I make. I don't even make $12 million like the guy next door. The more money you have, says the Ksav Sofer, sometimes it creates even more of a conflict internally of, am I really happy with what I have? Am I wealth? Do I wish I was as wealthy as he is? Do I want to make money as much as he is? If a guy's totally not in the ballpark, so what are you jealous of? You're jealous of the Gavir, you're not anywhere near the guy. But here, I'm in the ballpark. I'm up there with the big knockers. Then it's where the taiva starts to kick in. Zok t'ksav seif, that's what Hashem is saying, that you'll be very wealthy, you'll have everything, and you won't be jealous of your neighbor. You won't be jealous. You won't be want what he wants. You'll be very, very happy with what you have. You're not going to have any desire to have more. And the Alter from Slobodka said something which is, I think, in the world we live in today, so profound. Right? Most of us, we all know the famous Gemara, Yesh Lamona Ratzim Asai. Right? Poshup Shat, we always thought that meant that if a guy has $100, he really wants $200. So if you ask the guy with the $100, are you happy? So he'd say, yeah, I'm happy, but I want more. Said the Alter, no. The guy that wants $100 is not even happy with the $100 that he has, because he wants the other $100. Zok the Alter, the Rotz Amona, the Yesh Lamona, Rotz Masayim, that's not the Pshat, that he's 50% happy. He's 0% happy. He's miserable. Because he doesn't have what Yenim has. That's Mamish this Ksav Sefer. Zok the Ksav Sefer. You're going to be happy with what you have. You're going to be the epitome of Ezer Asher Asamech B'chalka. You're going to be happy with the millions that you're making and the food and the drinks that you have. And you're not going to want what Yenim has. Says the Ksav Sefer, that's ultimate brach. Not being jealous when you have the money. Not wanting more when you have the money, that's the highest level. That's the highest level of bracha. We know, and I think one of the takeaways from this week's parsha is the chashivas of Torah. We're seeing over and over from the opening psukim how Torah has an ability, that Amelus B'Torah has an ability to give you, to give into the world bracha. Amelus B'Torah produces brachas into the world. Again, we spoke a little bit before, I'm not getting into the whole drasha about the chashivas of a koil, but I often point out, it's not my chiddush, but Pami already said that there's something special to a community having a koil. A community having people sitting and learning there a whole day, it's megan, it protects. The Gemara tells him, Sechah Shabbos, that a city that has tenegah shabbos rabbim learning, it protects the city. It's a security system. In 1991, the Gulf War, and everyone was very nervous what was going to be. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, no rockets will hit Bnei Brak. The Schus HaTorah of Bnei Brak will protect all the rockets. And he was right. The Koyach HaTorah. Torah has an amazing Koyach of protection. Right? People always say, why do we need so many people learning? What does Torah do? What do I gain from it? We have to realize in this week's parasha, you see Mefurish, that the beautiful brachas that are going to befall the whole community, the rain is going to fall for everyone. The grass is going to grow for everyone. When there's people that are devoting their time to learning. I think it's an amazing thing. If we can support that and we can allow that to happen, we take part in that, then we're connected to that amazing bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. I heard this over many times from my Rebbe. He would say over from his great-grandfather, Reb Shimon Shkop. The Reb Shimon Shkop used to say that right before they closed the Grun, the yeshiva, so Reb Shimon was very distraught. And they say that, why was Reb Shimon so distraught? It wasn't because the yeshiva was closing. Reb Shimon said pshat, that he found a pirsha mishnayis la Rambam, that says pshat in the pasuk, eis lasos l'ashem heferu teresech. So Reb Shimon said from the pirsha mishnayis la Rambam, eis lasos l'ashem means like this, that when Hashem needs to do things, when Hashem needs to bring bad things to the world, heferu teresech, he breaks up the Torah. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring bad to the world is he closes the yeshivas. Because Kol Zman is learning, Torah is Megan. That's right, Reb Shimon was so nervous when he heard that the yeshivas were being closed in the early onset of the war, he said this is bad. Because the moment Torah is going to be lost, Eis Lasis Hashem, the way Hashem does things in the world is a favor Sarasecha. That's why, Baruch Hashem, even when we were in COVID, the yeshivas were enclosed. Because when you close yeshivas, bad things happen. It's Mamash is Pirsha Mishnayis. The amazing Koyach HaTorah, Torah is Megan, Torah protects. Torah protects communities, Torah protects Eretz Yisrael, Torah protects the world. And that's, I think, one of the very important lessons from this parasha that we have to think about and realize. How Torah has the ability to protect. Torah is Megan. Torah gives bracha. Torah gives hatzlacha. Torah gives so much. And again, not all of us have the ability to learn all day, but we can definitely help support people that are learning all day, support kailim, support yeshivas, and we can do our own amelos b'Torah. Our own toil and learning is extremely significant and very important as well. Oh wow, okay, we didn't get to what I wanted to get to. But there's another idea over here, in the middle of the Teichicha. Again, there's a pasuk over here that there's so much to talk about. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'nasati mishkani b'seichem." I'm in pasuk Yer Aleph. I will put my mishkan in you, v'lo yisigal nafsheschem, and I won't be repulsed by you. So that's a very strange pasuk. We're talking about good things. We're talking about how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us a base of mikdash. We're going to live with him. We're going to live together. And by the way, I'm not going to be repulsed by you. So the Ramban already asks, what type of bracha is that? I'm not going to be repulsed by you. That's a bracha. The Ramban's bothered by, what type of bracha is that? Can you imagine under the chuppah, one of the Sheva brachas that the Chas and the Kala shouldn't be repulsed by each other. Mazel tov. We're talking during the good times. Why would you mention this now? So my friend has a nice idea where he points out that, you know, this is a bracha. Because we know when two people are at their lowest point with each other, they start to hate each other. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, listen, no matter how far away we stray, and no matter how distant we become, I'll never hate you. It's a big statement. It's actually a complimentary statement. The Ramban's kasha is still why mention it now, but it is a nice thing to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that no matter how far we have dropped, no matter how far we have strayed, Hashem says, I will never hate you. You'll always have a special part in my heart. Will always be connected to Klal Yisrael. Okay, I see the time is getting late. We'll finish off with this. The end of the parsha, after it goes through the teichicha, all the terrible that will befall the Jewish people if we don't behave, we find a very interesting next parsha. The next parsha is the parsha of Erichin, the value of a person. Every Jewish person, male, woman, has a value, depending on their age. They have a value. If they promise to give their value, they have to know how much they're worth, and they have to be able to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rishayin and the Balaturim and others, they're bothered. What is the connection between the Teichicha and the idea of Erichin? So Rav Moshe Sher said a beautiful idea. Rav Moshe Sher said, if you want to know the real value of a Jew, the Erich, the value of a Jew, look at him after he goes through Teichicha. Look at a Jew after he goes through terrible times. What makes a Jew shine, a real Jew's value, is what does he do after destruction? What does he do after terrible times have hit? And I think this is such an amazing lesson where we find ourselves right now. You know, we're holding a few days after Lag BaOmer. And we know Lag BaOmer is a very interesting day. It's a mixed emotional day. On one hand, it's a joyous day, but on the other hand, it was the day when 24,000 students finally died. And for us today, Lag BaOmer has a whole different feeling because we remember vividly what happened. Now it's 2 years ago, Lag BaOmer, the terrible tragedy that befell the Jewish world with the passing, the timely passing of so many young people in Meiron. But the godless of a Jew is, how does he rise above and move on past all the difficulties? That was the godless of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was able to rise above losing 24,000 students. Instead of throwing in the towel and retiring, he said, no, I'm going to start again. That's Klal Yisrael. We go through the Teichicha. You read through the Teichicha and it's the Holocaust. I'm amazed by any Holocaust survivor who came out of that horrific time. And the Shomer Shabbos, the basic Shomer Torah mitzvahs yet. Basic. Nothing fancy. I'm the spoil from them. We today, if we went to, you know, we have a bump in the road, we're all mad at Hashem. And we justify in our mind why it's okay. These Yidden went through the most horrors of horror. We speak about this many times. You study Holocaust, you can't wrap your mind around it. I can't. I study Holocaust a lot. I still cannot wrap in my mind how a Yid went through the Holocaust and comes out and still showing return mitzvahs. It's a pellet to me. Zok Ramosha Sher. You want to measure the value of a Jew is see how he goes through the Teichicha, how he goes through terror, how he goes through a horrific situation. And what is he like after that? That's the Erich. That's the value of a Jew. That's the famous story of the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe used to tell people, don't come to me for a bracha. You want to go to someone for a bracha, go to someone in shul who's got numbers on his arm. He's putting on tefillin, go to him for a bracha. And it's so true. These people are gedolim. But it's not only people who went through the Holocaust. There are so many people that we live today with that lived through horrific situations, lived through sadnesses, lived through the death of someone in their family, lived through terror attacks, lived through other things. It doesn't have to only be the Holocaust. Any Yid that's living with tzaras day in and day out and he pushes himself to be an Oved Hashem is a tzaddik. Any Yid that experienced trauma and horrible things and terrible things that you don't wish upon your worst enemy. And he's still pumping, he's still knocking, he's still an Oved Hashem. Those people I find amazing. And we all know of people in our lives that suffered. Suffered stuff that we would never wish upon our worst enemy. They lost a spouse, they lost a parent, Rachman al-Son, they lost a child. There's sickness in the family. There's parnosa struggles. And you see them knocking away. They're going in shul and they're learning and they're davening and they're giving tzedakah. These are superstars. These are heroes. These are people we have to respect. And these are people that the Torah says, this is what I value. These are the people, says Rav Moshe Sher, that the Torah is describing to us in value. That's how you know the value of someone. When a person can go through tragedy, can go through suffering and come out still an Oyved Hashem, that's the real value of a Yid. Amazing, amazing. Keep our eyes open. There's so many people around us that we can grow from, that we can be inspired by. Mr. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the beautiful brachas found in this week's parasha. If we're Amal B'Torah, if we support Torah, we learn Torah, we give Torah, we live Torah, we should all be zeichet to see the wonderful brachas found in this week's parasha for ourselves, for our families, and for all of Klai. So have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll see everyone in Mr. Hashem Sunday morning in person this Sunday, special shiur on Inyanei de Berachas HaTorah.